Welcome to Pardes Daily, where you get your daily dose of Torah with Pardes faculty. This month, Pardes is bringing Elul to you. Let's dive in.
Welcome back, everyone, to our podcast from Pardes on the Book of Jonah. Last time, we considered the moment as the captain of the ship approaches Yonah in chapter 1. Yonah has fallen asleep even as a storm rages and the ship threatens to sink in the deep. The sailors have cried out to their gods. They have thrown the cargo overboard. It is a scene of utter fear and chaos, and Yonah somehow manages to sleep soundly. The captain approaches him and calls upon him to arise from his slumber. Ma lecha nirdam, arise, call out to your God. Perhaps God will change his mind, will have mercy upon us, and we will not be lost. This, of course, is a remarkable irony. Here we have a prophet of God whose life's work really ought to be devoted to connection with God, to prayer with God, to relationship with God, to communicating God's word to others. And yet he is in a deep sleep as this dangerous storm rages, and an idolatrous captain of the ship who worships other gods now approaches him and calls upon Jonah to implore God for mercy. So Jonah himself clearly is not taking initiative in this respect. One almost gets the impression that Jonah would want the ship to go down, because if the ship goes down with him on it, then of course he will succeed in escaping his mission at the cost, of course, of his own life. But perhaps he is at a place of depression and sadness and weariness and fatigue such that the outcome of self-destruction is perhaps more palatable to him than undertaking the mission that God has given him. Again, we don't fully comprehend as readers why it is that Jonah is so reluctant to go to Nineveh. As I pointed out last time, all we know, but not from the book of Jonah itself, is that Nineveh is the capital of the great Assyrian Empire, and Jonah has been called to bring the people of Nineveh back to God. I'll just point out that throughout Jewish history, many people have been inspired by the captain's invitation to cry out to God, and perhaps most famously are the words of the Rambam, the words of Maimonides, in his codification of the laws of tshuva. Maimonides writes the following. This is in Sefer Hamadah, Hilchot Tshuva, Perek Shelishi, chapter 3 of the Laws of Repentance. Rambam says the following in paragraph 4, Af al pi shetikiyat shofar b'rosh hashana gezeirat hakatuv, even though the idea of sounding the shofar on Rosh Hashanah is a decree of the Torah, where the Torah does not offer us a rationale, nevertheless, remez yeshbo, it contains an allusion. What is that allusion? Kilomar, uru uru yisheni mishenatchem, arise, arise, you who sleep from your slumber, v'hakitzu nirdamim mitardei matchem, and wake up those that sleep deeply from your deep sleep, v'chapesu b'maaseichem, search your deeds, return in tshuva, and remember your Creator. So clearly the Rambam seems to have been inspired by the captain's call to Jonah himself, an invitation to tshuva, as it were, to arise from slumber, to wake from sleep, not only literally, but figuratively. So interestingly enough, perhaps we have another reason why the book of Jonah is read as part of the service at the time of year associated with Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, because it contains within it a call to arise, a call to wake up, a call to think about the meaning of our lives, to reflect, to engage in introspection, and to return to God. So as much as the captain is an idolater and Jonah is a prophet of God, and of course it's ironic that the idolater is asking the prophet of God to arise from his slumber, but interestingly enough, that call of the captain actually inspires the Rambam in his understanding of what the significance of the sounding of the shofar is. The shofar in the Rambam's reading is an alarm bell. The shrill call of the shofar wakes us up from our figurative slumber and reminds us that the time of tshuva and the opportunity of tshuva has arrived. Opportunity of tshuva, I should point out that in spite of the captain's entreaties, there is no record in the text of Yonah calling out to God. And for all intents and purposes, we can assume that he remains silent. Verse number 7. Each man says to his fellow, Lechu v'napila goralot, come, let us cast lots, so that we might ascertain whose wickedness has brought this upon us. Vayapilu goralot, they cast the lots, and the lot fell upon Yonah. So we said earlier, Yonah clearly attempts to flee God's presence by escaping outside the land of Israel to somehow escape his mission as a prophet. But God, of course, finds him, even as the sailors cast lots, which really is an ancient practice among many ancient peoples to ascertain a guilty party. Obviously, it's random as to whom the lot falls upon and isn't necessarily an indication of a person's guilt or a person's innocence. But in the minds of the sailors who are idolaters, that is the case, because in idolatry, often lots were used to determine guilt. And here, of course, ironically, once again, and Yonah perhaps is not anticipating this outcome, but the lot falls on him, which is to say, it may be the case that prophecy cannot be communicated in Chutz La'aretz, outside the land of Israel, but that does not mean that Yonah will have escaped God's clutches. So now the lot falls upon him, and the sailors turn to him with great alarm. Who are you? Where are you from? What is your line of work? What is your land? What is your people? Yonah answers, Ivri Anochi, I am a Hebrew, which is, of course, is an ethnicity, and it's also a religion. It indicates a believer in monotheism. Bet Hashem, I'm in verse number 9, Elokei Hashemayim Ani Yarei, the Lord of heaven, God who is the Lord of heaven, I fear, I revere, Asher asa et hayam ve'et hayabasha, who has created and fashioned both the sea as well as dry land. With this response, Yonah effectively highlights the contrast between himself and the idolatrous sailors of the ship. Yonah is a devotee of the God of Israel. The God of Israel is understood to be the creator of the sea and the dry land. Obviously, for ancient idolaters, there were many gods: a God who created the sea, a God who created dry land, a God who created day, and a God who created night, and all the other things. There's a pantheon of gods associated with natural forces, and only in ancient Israel was there a conception of a single God responsible for the creation and maintenance of everything. So Yonah announces himself as a devotee of that God and presumably shares with them that he has fled God's presence which is why their reaction in the next verse is one of trepidation. Verse number 10, Vayiru'u ha'anashim. The men were filled with a great fear. They said, "What have you done?" The men knew that he had fled from before God because he told them so. So next time we will follow what happens next and consider a little bit more deeply the significance of the lots that are cast in order to ascertain Jonah's guilt. Thank you.
Thank you to our Pardes faculty, and thank you to you, our learners. Make sure to check back in at the beginning of each week to stay on track with your Elul learning, and visit www.pardes.org.il for more information about Pardes and our programs.